Thank you for joining us for the True Life Fellowship Church podcast. Here is today's message from Pastor Devon Alexander.
So guys, we've been on a series on faith for the last few weeks. So today I want to continue in that vein. God kind of shifted me a little bit from what I was going to talk about, but we're going to stay in that vein today with faith. Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified, it reads, Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Guys, too often we think of faith as merely that we're believing in something. So we see it as something that we just, sometimes we see it as something we just hope will happen. And a lot of people see it as just a mental practice. When you talk to people, they talk about faith. They just see it as something as I'm thinking about it. Oh, I hope it's happening. It's going to happen. And that's why they go in and out of faith. They believe one day and they doubt the next. And then if it takes too long to manifest, they give up. You know, I've done it sometimes in the past where something felt like it took too long to manifest. And I felt like, well, it ain't happened yet. So it's not going to happen. And what that means, then that a person like that is not consistent. So what I want to talk to you about today, the title of my message is consistent faith. Amen. Can you say consistent faith? Consistent. The word consistent means unchanging in nature, standard, or effect over time. So what is consistent faith? Consistent faith is faith that is unchanging, it sets a standard, and does not lose its effect no matter how long it takes. Read that again. Consistent faith is faith that is unchanging. It sets a standard and does not lose its effect no matter how long it takes to manifest. It's the bridge between the dream that God gave you and manifestation. Consistent faith is holding on to what you are believing for no matter how long it takes to manifest. Have you ever been believing for something and it seemed like it wasn't going to happen? Yeah. And she felt that one. But you ever seem like it wasn't going to happen. But when you're consistent in your faith, no matter how long it takes, you hold on to that because consistent faith is the evidence of maturity and it's the pathway to manifestation. It's the evidence when you're consistent in it, it shows that you're maturing in faith and you're holding on to what God believing in and you're taking action because you're on your way to that manifestation. Ephesians 4:13-16, the Amplified reads, that it might develop until we all attain the oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. The measure of the stature of fullness of the Christ and the completeness found. Now, I want to go back for a quick second. And that verse 13 says, is that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. So when you're maturing and you're maturing in faith, your consistent faith, your faith is, you're getting to a point where your faith is at Christ's standard. Is that the standard with Christ, which Christ believes? Is that the standard with which God believes? And it's no less than Christ's own standard of perfection. The measure of the stature of fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in him. Verse 14. So then we may no longer be children, tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine. The prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery and inventing errors to mislead. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love. Let us grow up in every way and all things into him who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Verse 16. For because of him, the whole body, the church in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied. When each part with power adapted to its need is working perfectly in all its function, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. So consistent faith is a sign of maturity. It's not believing in something just once or twice. What it means is when you're consistent in your faith, you've been building up in full maturity in faith in God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So consistent faith is the proof of that. You being consistent in your faith is the proof that you believe what God say will happen, will happen. You're not wavering to and fro. You're not going back and forth. You're not being tossed. You're not in faith one day and in doubt the next. In faith one day and in doubt the next. And guess what? If you start feeling yourself, now we're natural beings. If you start feeling yourself going into doubt, your consistency in faith will pull you back on track. Amen? That's why in the scripture, the Bible talks about how we are not to be like children tossed to and fro. We're supposed to grow up and become what God says we ultimately are to become. And that the promises that we receive, the promises that he gave us, that was faith does. Faith does it. And when you're consistent, you won't be tossed to and fro. You won't be sad today, happy today, sad tomorrow. You won't be full of faith today and fear tomorrow. Because maturity brings you to a place of consistency in your faith. Consistency is over and over and over and over and over again. You believe today. You believe today when it looks like it's not going to happen. You still believe. When you got that doubt and when you got that doubt coming to your spirit, you still believe. When you start feeling sick because you believe you're healing, but you still feel sick, you still believe. You still stand on your faith. You're still speaking on your faith. You're speaking and you're being consistent in what you believe because consistency brings you to the full maturity of God's nature. Amen. So today I want to give you some quick points that I believe will help you understand consistent faith and become consistent in your faith, all right? So the first point is that consistent faith endures, amen? Consistent faith endures. Galatians 6, 9 in the Amplified Classic Version. And it reads, "Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint." So what it's saying is that it's going to happen. There's a time that it's going to happen. And it's going to, there's an appointed season. See, what you have to understand is when God shows you something and you believe something, you pray for something, there's a time that it's going to happen. There's an appointed time for it to happen. We just have to be consistent in our faith to continue to believe that it's going to happen. We may not know the time. God may not show us the time, but we just have to be consistent and know that it's going to happen. And we can't lose faith because the scripture says that in due season we shall reap if. See, when we look at scripture, you got to look at those little words. It says if we do not loosen and relax our courage or faint. Because when you're consistent in your faith, victory and manifestation is certain. It's certain to happen when you're consistent. When you're consistent and believe, when you're consistent and walking in faith, victory and manifestation is certain to happen. And you can't quit when it looks like it won't happen. Because that's what Satan wants you to do. When you get relaxed in your faith and you start doubting and you doubt too long, you give Satan an opportunity to invade your mind and plant seeds of doubt. When you're not consistent in your faith and you doubt and you start doubting, you start wavering in and out, that gives an open door. When that doubt comes, it gives an open door for Satan to come in and invade your mind and say things to you like, God ain't going to do it. Did it happen yet? It ain't happened yet. You've been waiting for 2 years. It ain't happened yet. You've been waiting for 10 years for your healing. Are you healed yet? Nope. So what makes you think God's going to do that? That was the thing Satan do. He come in and he invade those thoughts. And then you start thinking, you're right. I ain't got it yet. You know what? Must I be meant for me to have? You ever hear people say, well, you got to die with something. I've heard people say that. You got to die with something. They've lost faith. They've accepted the disease. There's a book called Jesus the Healer by E.W. Kenyon. And I read it, and this is what changed my outlook on diabetes. When they told me I had diabetes, this changed the outlook. Because I would say, my diabetes, my answer. I'll be saying, but then the book said that sickness is like a UPS package that Satan has delivered to your house. You receive it, you sign for it. Satan has the slip that you've received it. And as long as he has that slip, that disease is yours. Because you signed for it. When he brings it to you, sign for it because you said, my, you know, you get your package, this is my package. When you're saying things like my disease, my sickness, my finances is low. When you say things like that, you're receiving. So when I talk to people about diabetes, I say, well, they say I have the symptoms of diabetes. I put it on, I say, they said that I deal with the symptom of diabetes, but I'm being healed. So when you do that, that's your faith being consistent because you're not receiving it. And so you have to endure because consistent faith endures. And let me give you a definition of endurance. Endurance is the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. Read that again. Endurance is the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. That's what consistent faith is. That's how consistent faith endures, because no matter what's going on, no matter how difficult it may get, no matter how unpleasant the situation may seem, you still believe. You still have faith. You're consistently walking in faith. When it gets down to your last dollar, God, I may have $1 left, but I believe. When it gets down when you feel at your worst, God, I feel terrible today, but I believe. When it gets feel like you're lonely, like you never get married, God, I'm lonely today, but I believe. And you keep consistent no matter how it gets, no matter how unpleasant it gets. You're consistently walking in faith and you'll be consistent with that. And you're enduring the process because when you, like what the scripture said, when you endure the process, there's a due season. There's a due season for it. And it's gonna happen. Guys, I got married when I was 40 and I was single for so long, I thought I would never get married. And I was like, man, I got to a point, and I'm very transparent. I got to a point where I was like, I don't think this is ever going to happen. And, you know, God, and I was like, God, I can't be single. I'm like, I can't be like Paul. I'm sorry. You know, I can't do it. Paul got that grace. I don't have that grace, God. You know, either it's going to happen or I'm just being real with you, God. It's going to happen or I got to go. You know, I got to go back. And I was real about it. And so, but I got to the point where I said, okay. I can't go back into the world. I can't go back to my old ways. So I guess I got to keep believing for this wife. So I started focusing on just seeking God, focusing on me and started developing me and seeking God for things that I need to change. And then I started being consistent with believing. And no matter what, I just started just taking action and learning how to be married when I was single and doing these things. And I was consistently confessing. I wrote out a confession. Now, I wrote out a confession for my wife, for everything I wanted in my wife. And at the time, it was this young lady that I thought was it, and it wasn't. But when I look at my wife now, everything I had in that confession is her. It's her. But I consistently every day confess and have faith. And then one day out of the blue, it's like I tripped over, you know, like, oh, hey, girl, you know, and she was there. And it was like, and now, but I was consistent in my faith for that thing. With being sick, with diabetes, I've been consistent and changed my eating habits and stuff like that to where my doctor is taking me off the medicines. So it's like you have to be consistent. If you believe in for a financial miracle, consistent faith. No matter how it looks, no matter how bad it gets, consistently believe in that, and then you'll get that. James 1, verses 2 through 4 in Amplified. It reads, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness, what's going on with me in my words today? Steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. That's consistency. You're enduring that, and you're allowing your patience, you're allowing endurance to develop patience in you, and having this full play to develop you. Because when you're consistent in faith, you stand on what you believe, no matter how difficult or unpleasant the process or situation may be, without wavering. You're standing in it. It's almost like, you ever seen the movies where I'm going to use wrestling because I got my son into watching wrestling now. And y'all, it's a funny story about Caleb with wrestling. But we're watching wrestling. And you know, I ever know when they get down, even though it's fake, I thought it was real for so many years, but that's a tangent I'm not going to go on. But even though it looks like they're on the floor and they're like, oh, they got to just get to their partner. And with that last strength, they and tag him. And then all of a sudden they get in. And so it's like, They didn't give up. They didn't waver. They like used that last strength. So when you get to the point where you feel like it's, you can't take no more, you got to do like those wrestlers. You got to muster up that last strength and just say, Jesus. If you just say, Jesus, just Jesus. And you say, or just say, I believe God. And then when you do that, then God can say, okay. They got it. They still got some. They got some oomph in there. All right, let's go. We can go with it. We can go with it. Romans 15 and 4. And it reads, for whatever was thus written in former days was written for our instruction, that by our steadfast and patient endurance and the encouragement drawn from the scriptures, we might hold fast to and cherish hope. If we look at this, with these scriptures, if we look at, there's a flow in these scriptures, talks about steadfastness and patience. Steadfastness and patience. So what is consistent faith doing to you? It's making you steadfast, it's helping you stand strong, and it's developing patience in you. So it's developing patience in you to be able to hold on and wait for God to bless you and give you that what you're believing for. Because consistent faith fuels hope in you, that you will receive the manifestation of your faith. So what happens when you're holding on, you're building hope. You're able to say, okay, God, I know it's going to happen. And you're waiting. You know how hope is like when you get that, like kids, they give you that Christmas list, and they're like, I hope I get this for Christmas. I hope I get it. You're getting excited. It's like, they're like, I hope I get it. You know, and then they go down there, they see the gifts on the tree. And I hope that's my Nintendo Switch. That's how my son was. I hope I get a Nintendo Switch, Daddy. Dad, I hope I get a Nintendo Switch for Christmas. You know, and they're so excited. And you get excited when you have that hope. And your consistent faith builds that hope in you to keep going. And it moves you from hope to faith, then to manifestation. Amen? All right? My next point is, inconsistent faith can't be trusted. Amen? Inconsistent faith can't be trusted. James 1, 5 through 8 in Amplified. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given him. Only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, doubts, is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. Say thither three times fast. for truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. I'm going to go back to that again. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. Consistent faith is actually unbelief. Inconsistent faith is actually unbelief. Can't be trusted. In this person here, if your faith is inconsistent and it's like this person in the scripture, God can't trust you. He can't trust you enough to give you what you're believing for because you're in and out. You believe one day, you don't the next. You believe it could be this day you're up in faith and God could be ready to give it to you. And then 30 minutes later, you're like, I don't know if God want me to have it. Then you got, what? They don't believe. The next day, you're like, I know God got it. I'm going to get it. I believe this is it, blah, 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 blah. God ready. And you're like, but I don't know if he want me to have it. Then he's got to take it back. Then it's like you're wavering back and forth in your faith, and it's not consistent. So what inconsistent faith does is it makes you impatient and causes you to try to make it happen before time. Let's look at, I looked into this. Let's look at a farmer with his crops, a farmer who grows corn. It takes corn typically about 90 to 120 days to come to maturity. So let's say this farmer, he's there and he's planting his corn. And he gets so impatient that he goes and pulls it up in 30 days. What's he going to get? It's not going to be fully ripe corn. It's going to be unripe. It's not going to be ready. And then he's going to be done wasted his harvest to be able to make his money for the season or provide for his family because he was impatient and he tried to make it happen on his own. It's the same with faith. If you try to get impatient and go ahead of God and make it happen for yourself, you will get something that you are not mature enough to handle. When you get impatient, when you get impatient, try to make it happen on your own and without God, you get something that you're not mature enough to handle. Because there's a certain maturity we have to have for the things that we're asking God for. We have to be able to handle it. If you ask God for $100,000 right now and you're not ready to handle it, you're not ready because you say, I want to get out of debt. God, I need $100,000. And God bless you with $100,000. You're not ready. You can go and spend it. You're going to go and spend it on frivolous stuff, and then you could be in debt again. You can go and buy more debt. You can go and buy you a $75,000 car. They have $25,000 left, and then you got an $800 payment on a $75,000 car. Then what? You know, it's going to be something you're not ready for. And I want to use this example, even for a spouse. When we try to make it single people, this is for my single people, and married people can attest with me on this. When you try to move before God and make somebody be with you that you feel you need to marry, then you get something that God didn't want you to have. Or you get something you're not preparing for. Single ladies, the Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. But when you go ahead and you try to find the husband and you try to find, you look instead of trying to be found, you get somebody that won't love you like God wants them to love you. You get somebody that's not going to treat you like they're supposed to treat you because Satan will send a counterfeit. As you know now, he's going to send a counterfeit because a lot of times a counterfeit comes before the real thing. That's with anything in life. The counterfeit can come before the real thing. And if you're not ready, I had a couple women come to me and tell me, God said you're my husband. He didn't tell me. He didn't tell me. So that's something that's out of line. He didn't tell me. But that's the same way with your faith. I use that as an example because that's the best example, you know, right now I could think of to use. But it's just like with your faith. When you go ahead of God for something you believe in and try to make it happen yourself, you get something that you are not ready for. You get something that you won't be able to handle. Amen. Inconsistent faith is the result of you taking your eyes off Jesus. That's what inconsistent faith is. When you're inconsistent in your faith, it's because you've taken your eyes off Jesus. And every time you take your eyes off Jesus, you lose faith. When you take your eyes off Jesus, the provider of faith, you lose faith. Hebrews 11:6 in the Passion Translation reads, and without faith living within us, it will be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real and that he rewards the faith of those who passionately seek him. When you're inconsistent in your faith, you stop believing that God is real and you won't seek him. When you're inconsistent in your faith, you stop believing that God is real and you won't seek him. Why? Because you're impatient now and you're ready for it to happen. You don't want to wait on God and you go make it happen yourself. You get to a point where you're like, hey, this ain't happening. I don't know. God, are you there? You ever heard anybody ask God, God, are you there? Do you see what I'm going through? Do you know what I'm going through? God knows what you're going through. He sees it. But then you get to the point where you're like, it ain't happening, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. You know, and then you go ahead of God and you make it happen. So you're not seeking him anymore. You're not seeking him. You're not seeking him for guidance. You're seeking your own. You're in your carnal mind now when you go out there and do it on your own. In order to be consistent in your faith, you have to be confident in who God is. Amen? That leads me to my next point. Consistent faith is confident faith. Amen? Matthew 21, verse 21 through 22 reads, "And Jesus answered them, 'Truly I say to you, if you have faith, a firm, reliant trust, and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever you ask in prayer, having faith and really believing, you will receive.'" The lesson here in the scripture is that there is incredible power in consistent and confident faith. There's incredible power. Jesus was confident that when he spoke to that fig tree and said, he cursed it from the root. He was confident that when he came back the next day, it was going to be done. I don't even know if it was the next day, probably a few days they came back. The disciples were astonished at it. Jesus wasn't. The disciples were like, "Master, look, the fig tree you've cursed, it's still dead." And Jesus was like, "You ain't know?" You know? And it was like, so he was confident in it that what he speaks will happen. This is what he's saying to us in the scripture. He's saying that if you're confident and consistent in your faith, when you speak to the situation, it will move. When you speak to the mountain, whatever it is, whatever it may look like in your life, when you speak to it, it's going to move. Because when you're confident in the power of faith to manifest what you're believing, you can speak to any situation and get results. I'm going to say that again. When you are confident in the power of faith to manifest what you are believing for, you can speak to any situation and get results. You know, and I'm very transparent. I'm one to say there are times where I was like, "Is that mountain going to move when I speak to it?" Man, you got to be real. The time you're like, "Is that mountain going to move?" And that's when you got to go and build your faith, because the situation could be so dire and so drastic and so huge that you gotta build up your faith to speak to it. Because some situations you're gonna look at, you're not just gonna immediately say, "Move, mountain," and be like, and know it's gonna move. You're gonna be like, "Can you move? Excuse me. Can you move?" But then when you go and you get in that word and you start building up your faith, you can be like, "All right, now, you a big mountain, but you got to go. You know, in the name of Jesus, you got to move. My life has to change. The sickness has to be out of my body. Body, I command you function in the perfection that God created to function in. Finances, I decree the word of God over you. I command millions in my bank account. I command debt freedom now. Debt go. You cannot exist here. You don't have permission to exist here. You got to move right now in the name of Jesus. Go." And when you get that confidence and you say it, guess what? In the spirit, it's moved. And then what happens in the spiritual realm, it comes into the natural realm, and that thing start moving. Then you start feeling better. A sickness starts to go. You start like, "Okay, I can do this." But here's a key. When you start doing that, when you start speaking against sickness, then God's going to start showing you what you need to do, because that's action we have to take too. Now, God can miraculously heal us. He can miraculously heal us, but there's something we have to learn in the process, like me with diabetes. I wanted to stop sticking myself. My fingers are so rough from pricking my fingers and all that stuff. Then I went and I felt if I get the continuous glucose thing, I can just check it with my phone, blah, blah. And I was like, but I'm tired of sticking myself with insulin. I got tired. So my wife and I, we went on and started, okay, we got to get our health right. My wife was like, "You got to get your health right." So we started working out and started doing these things. And I got consistent with it. I was on 3 insulins. Y'all heard this testimony. The doctor took me off 2. I was consistent with my faith. And he gave me, and believing that I would come off. Then he gave me the option to be on the 3rd one until next month when I go back to see him. So, and he said, "I believe if you continue to do what you're doing, you're not even going to be diabetic anymore." Because I was consistent with believing and consistent in doing and consistent in speaking to my body to get results. But you got however that mountain looks, however big it is, guys, however the dire the situation looks, You got to know that if you speak to that mountain and tell it to be cast into the sea, like the Bible said, it's going to move. Because verse 22 says, and whatever you ask in prayer, having faith, check this out, and really believing, you will receive. Really believe, consistently believing, and you will see it. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19 reads, this was so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to ever prove false or deceive us, we who have fled to him for refuge might have mighty indwelling strength and strong encouragement to grasp and hold fast the hope appointed for us and set before us. Now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It cannot slip and it cannot break down under whoever steps out upon it. A hope that reaches farther and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil. This is saying when you are consistent in your faith, that no matter what, it's saying that no matter what you do, no matter where you walk, no matter what situation you're in, it cannot break. Your faith cannot break down under any circumstances. Your hope cannot break down in the circumstances. Your hope will not falter in a situation. It says by two unchangeable things, God's promise and his oath, which is impossible for God to ever prove false. God made us a promise and he made a covenant oath with us. Those things and those promises cannot be broken. So when you walk in consistent faith, those promises that God made to us, that oath, that covenant that he made with us will prove true as long as you walk in consistently in faith. And the scripture is God's confirmation that his promise and his oath removes any doubt and all uncertainty that whether or not it will happen. If you look at and you go to God's promise, my son knows when he asks me for things and he gets a little impatient, I say, son, has daddy ever made a promise to you that I didn't keep? No, sir. Then you know I'm going to do it. He knows his sonship. Daddy don't make promise to him that I can't keep. If I can't do it, I don't promise him. Now, he knows if I say I promise we'll do it, son, he knows that we're going to do it because daddy does not break promises. And God does not break his promise to us. God does not break his oath to us. He cannot. The Bible says it. He cannot lie. He cannot. It's two unchangeable things. With me, it's unchangeable. It cannot be changed. So when you're going through things, if you believe that God in his promises know that it cannot be changed, then you can keep going. You can be consistent in your faith. Amen. My next point, consistent faith focuses on the unseen. Consistent faith focuses on the unseen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18 in the Passion Translation. It reads, so no wonder we don't give up. For even though our outer person gradually wears out, our inner being is renewed every single day. We view our slight, short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. We see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal, weighty glory far beyond all comparison. Because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What is unseen is temporary, but what the unseen realm is eternal. When you're consistent in your faith, you won't give up. Even when you get discouraged, your consistency will pull you back. Amen? Because consistent faith sets your focus on the unseen and eternal things. It'll cause you to see the present from the perspective of the future. And what I mean by that is when you focus on your hope, when you focus on what you believe and God gives you something and you're believing something, your consistency and faith allows you to see what you know the end result is going to be. Amen. So you won't get so caught up in the now. You'll be looking at the future. You're saying, even though I feel sick now, my healing is on the way. Even though I'm broke now, my debt freedom is on the way. My wealth is on the way. Even though I'm sticking myself with insulin now, I won't be doing this later down the road. Even though I'm single now, my spouse is on the way, because you're consistent and you're being consistent, and that it's gonna keep you going. It's gonna pull you back, and you're looking at what's in the unseen realm, and because what's in the unseen realm is real and is eternal, and then you begin to see it from God's perspective. And what's God's perspective? God's perspective is that it's already done. When you're consistent in your faith, you're going to start seeing it from God's perspective, which is that it's already done, and it's done in the spiritual realm. It's just waiting to be manifested in the natural realm. Man, you have to look at it like that. You have to know, okay, God said, God did everything in 6 days. He did everything in 6 days. There's nothing that we want to believe in for that God hasn't already done for us. We just have to pull it down with our faith. Man, my next point. Consistent faith is necessary for victory. Amen. God gives a promise of victory, right? Gives a promise of victory, and a promise can be very motivational. It could be where you, once you get that promise and you get what God is showing, you get that word from God about what he's going to do in your life, and you strongly believe it, you start having faith for it, you get motivated to move, but then it gets challenging sometimes, because sometimes we think it'll be easy to do. If you're real, sometimes when you get a promise from God, or you believe in something that you want, you're faithful for something, sometimes we can think it's just going to happen. It's going to happen right away. And you know, we believe that sometimes the victory is going to be easy. And the reality is, God never promised us that it's going to be easy. He never promised us that it's going to happen right away. He showed it to us. But what we have to understand, guys, is that God communicates from a place of victory. See, when he shows you what you're believing, when he shows it to you, he's showing you the end result. He's showing you the victory. So what we have to do is, when he shows us that, we have to believe and be consistent, because we know we have a goal. We have a promise. We're pressing toward the prize, and we're pressing toward what God has called us to be. And we got to keep that. And when that doubt starts coming in, you put that in front of you. You put that picture. What God is showing. That's why it says write the vision and make it plain. Because if you write it down and you put it on the wall or put it on that mirror, when you get up in the morning and you're tired and you're weary from believing, and you're beat down by life, thinking that when you get up in the bathroom, you go to wash your face, you finish, you look up. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. By his stripes, I am healed. And you start seeing those things. You start seeing those scriptures. You start seeing what God promised you. The Lord told me that I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. I'm going to have this. I'm going to have that. And it's in front of you every day. And you see it. And you're speaking it. You're putting it in your spirit for the day. And that's keeping you consistent in your faith. You might put it on a screensaver on your phone if you need to. So when you get to work, pull it up. My God shall supply all my needs according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. By his stripes, I am healed. The Lord say, I'm a lender, not a borrower. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above only, not beneath. And you start seeing that, then you're like, okay, I can go a little longer. And then you're being consistent. By the end of the day, after they beat you down at work, and you're like, I'm tired of doing this. My God shall supply all my needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You get home before you go to bed. My God shall supply my needs according to the riches and glory of Christ Jesus. You're seeing those things, and it's keeping you consistent and your faith, and you're seeing that because now you're speaking from a place of victory. Now you're speaking as God would speak, and you're speaking from a place of victory. One of the things that we have to understand, like I said, is God never promises that will happen quickly. It might not happen today. It might not happen tomorrow. It could happen today. It could happen 7 years from now. It could happen 365 days from now. But guess what? It's going to happen. That's where your faith has to come in. The word says a just man falls 7 times and rises up again. And sometimes it may take 7 years for what you're believing in. It may take 7 days. It may take 30 years. But guess what? If you're consistent in your faith, you will see it. And you may be thinking, you may be believing God for something. You may be asking God, when will this happen? How long is it going to be? Gene, you can come on up. How long is it going to be? How long would it take? How long is it going to take to manifest? God, how long do I have to wait? If you've been there, or you may be there, just say amen. If you've been there, be there. How long would it have to wait? The answer to that question is until it manifests. You got to believe until it manifests. You got to have faith until it manifests. You got to be consistent until it manifests, until you see it. And here's the thing. When it does manifest, you're going to have to believe for the next thing. We have to live a life of faith. We're believing on this level to get to the next level. Because when you believe for something and it manifests, that's for that level, guys. But then you got to believe for the next level. Then when that comes, then you got to believe for the next level. When that comes, the next level, because we're living a life of faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. We're living. So there's never going to be a time where we don't have to have faith for something. There's never going to be a time where we don't have to believe God for something. But each time it gets manifest on this level, when you get to the next level, you go back to this level and say, what did I do here? What are the principles that I put in place for my faith on this level? Then you use them on the next level. Then that level is going to teach you principles that you're going to need for the next level. Then you're going to combine, you're going to continue. And when it manifests, because guess what? What our ultimate manifestation is not going to happen until we're in our heavenly bodies. That's when the ultimate manifestation is going to happen. But guys, the key is to be consistent. And when you're consistent, you'll become motivated to continue to live a lifestyle of consistent faith. Amen.
You have been listening to the ministry of Devon Alexander, pastor of True Life Fellowship Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more information, go to our website at www.truelifefc.org. You can also support this ministry financially through our website. Thank you, and remember to love, learn, live, and lead.